Hi, everybody. Welcome to another amazing, albeit late, episode of Brown Eyed Unicorn. I'm your host, Hannah Brown, and today we're recapping The Hills. But first and foremost, there is just so much to discuss before I get to this. I have a notes app in my phone, a note ready to go, because there was a lot of pop culture things that happened this week that I would like to touch on. First and foremost, let's just address the Miley and Caitlyn in the room. Miley and Caitlyn were seen together sunning in Italy and maybe like kissing under a hat. I think it's a publicity stunt, but to be honest, I'm such a Miley Cyrus fan that I'm like deeply, deeply bitter that Caitlyn got to go on this vacation and I didn't. And they like both looked like amazing in their bikinis and they were just like having a moment. And I'm just like jealous that I can't like scissor Miley Cyrus in the Italian sun. You know what I mean? Like, I think she's so sexy. And, you know, if I were to swim in the lady pond, I think Miley would be a pretty major contender. And I don't think Caitlyn deserves her because she's boring and bossic. And yeah, it's pretty much all I have to say about it. I guess I want to be like, oh, I'm so happy to see Caitlyn's on the rebound. But like, again, I just like she doesn't offer enough for me to really care. And let's be honest, Brody's been banging other women the entire time. So I'm sure like he's on the rebound and then some. So that's what I think about that. Also, Jacob Elordi, a.k.a. Nate from Euphoria, a.k.a. what's his name from the kissing booth, my Heath Ledger Australian prince, was recently in a Calvin Klein ad. And honestly, I hate Calvin Klein ads. They make me feel like shit. And they're just so like artsy fashion, like pretentious. And I'm like, no, I don't need to see like Bella Hadid draped over Matthew Noshka being like hashtag my Calvins. How air. I love me some Jacob Elordi, and I had no issues, not a one, seeing him in hashtag his Calvins. If you haven't seen it, go to Jacob Elordi's Instagram, look at the Calvin Klein commercial, be ready to feel a little bit bad about yourself, but really just like focus on him because he's all that matters. What else? Bip. Oh my gosh. So much happened on Bachelor in Paradise this week. I literally finished watching all my shows this morning. I was thrilled to see the return of Jorge on a zip line. I love Wells Adams on the show. I think he's a great bartender. I think he's a fun little person for everyone to kiki with. However, seeing Jorge fly down that zip line and make weird sexual comments was terrific. I was like, Jorge, what the fuck is up? And I hope he sticks around. Like, he reminds me of like a court jester. Like, he's kind of a trickster and he just like pops up and like makes us laugh. And it's like, oh, Jorge, good to see you. Also, there was like the Clay and Christian and Nicole love triangle. And to be honest, I don't really care for any of them. I mean, Nicole's really pretty, but she's kind of boring. And I don't really understand why she's the one that's like getting the most dates. And why Jane went home. I think that's ridiculous, but that's neither here nor there. Clay is like cute and nice, but kind of just like a brick of a person. He's like, hey, would you like to go talk to me on the beach? And then you have Christian, who's just this like Rico Suave, like creeper, who's so aggressive. And like, I'm all for an assertive man. I think that's an attractive quality too. But like, he was obnoxious and creepy and like possessive. And I was just like, fuck off, Christian. And like the fact that Nicole is even like wondering who she should pick, like blows my mind. I don't know that Clay is the one for her either. Because I just think he's kind of boring. But out of the two, you know, he seems like a decent human being, and I cannot say the same for Christian. What else happened? John Paul Jones did a little Shakespearean sonnet for Tayshia. I thought that was so sweet, and I actually think they're going to be a really cute paradise couple. I'm all for it. His little Shakespearean, like, woodland sprite face laying on that little chaise and reading her the poem. I thought it was really cute. They're very, like, innocent and sweet. Caitlyn. I'm happy to see that she's finding her groove now that what's his fuck is in paradise. Mike came. I love me some Mike. He's so sexy and so sweet. And then Dean came, and I was just like, Dean, get a hobby. Like, just because you changed your hair and grew a mustache doesn't mean I really care for you to be in paradise. And like, I completely forgot about that, like, Kristen D'Lo love triangle. I just remember Christina, like, crying a lot, being like, D'Lo and Dean, like, sobbing all the time. Christina cannot catch a break with these Bachelor Nation guys, I have to tell you. But, yeah, I think that Caitlyn would be a ding-dong to choose Dean over Mike. I mean, Mike is just it. I was disappointed to see him in Paradise because I was like, this means he can't be the Bachelor, but it is what it is. I hope he finds himself a Paradise queen. God, was there anything else? Oh, and then, yeah, that fight that exploded at the end between, fuck you guys, I should have done my research. What's the blonde guy who came in Sperry boat shoes, which I don't know how I feel about that, who was like, Blake's sticking his spoon in all the pudding. Honestly, he's making great television. When he shaded Christian for arriving in Paradise wearing athletic shoes and was like, yo, dude, go out and buy a pair of espadrilles. And then he started fucking with that pinata, being like, Clay's a good friend of mine. It was hilarious. And apparently they're going to like beat the shit out of each other next week. And like, I love me some messy people on my reality shows. So beat each other up. Do it. Oh, also Demi came out to Derek about her bisexual journey. And he seemed chill about that. So I'm interested to see where that goes. Cool. You know, bisexual representation. Fuck yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that happened in the episode that was like really thrilling to me. Not really. I'm just excited to see people beat each other up. Also, I think Hannah G and Blake deserve each other. I think they should like run off into a fucking meadow away from my television screen because like I think they're both like not that hot and like kind of boring and like selfish and rude. And I think Dylan is such a little sweet angel baby. And whether he finds love in Paradise or not, I know he'll find love in general. And I think he can do way better than Hannah G. Because it's like Matthew Hussey said, I don't think he's actually verbatim said this, but I can imagine him saying this. If someone makes you question what you want, there is no way they are the right person for you. It's true, though. Like, if Hannah is fucking with Dylan emotionally this much, this early on, she's not his person. She's not his soulmate. Speaking of people and soulmates, my boyfriend and I got in the most aggro fight this week that we've ever had. And, you know, aggro fights, in the grand scheme of every relationship I've been in, like, he is a wonderful, beautiful person. I love him so much. He's terrific. We got to the other side of it, but I just want to say that when I get angry and I spiral, nothing can stop me. I am a one-woman hurricane. I am a one-woman indie film standing in an alley outside of my workplace screaming into the void. I didn't stop. Like, for 24 hours, it was like we were fighting and then we were fine and then we were fighting and then we were fine. It was just like circles become circles become circles. And I was so exhausted. I am so exhausted. I'm actually getting a massage today because I fucking deserve it. And I realized the type of person in a fight I want to be and might never be is like an Italian mafia wife. And I went there a couple times. I was like, after everything I've done for you, last week I made you dinner dressed like a 50s housewife with no underwear on. That is true. I made him dinner from scratch, dressed like a housewife with no underwear. I'm a good fucking girlfriend. And then, so I like spiraled and I like explained like what an amazing girlfriend I am. And then I just finished it with, handle it. And at that moment, I should have walked away and just not said anything and like ghosted until everything was handled. However, I just spiraled and spiraled and spiraled. So here we are. I can't wait for that massage. I do think that certain parts of our personal lives should stay private and precious. But I thought that some of you might be able to identify with that behavior in a fight. If you can't, good for you. That means, I don't know, you're better in an argument than I am. Yeah, my therapist is going to get an earful this week. It's fine. Everything's fine. I hope you can relate to that. Onward, what else? Enough about me. The Southern Charm finale. Y'all, Southern Charm finale happened. Ashley was there. I don't really care. Then we had the Shep, Austin, Craig, and Madison drama. I think it was so deeply fucked up of Shep and Craig to like bring those girls to that event. I mean, for reality TV, terrific. But like, if I were Madison, speaking of spiraling and losing your mind, if I were Madison in that situation, she kept her shit together, all things considered, I would have lost my fucking shit. I'd be like, Patricia, I love you. I'm sorry. And then I would just run up to them and like throw a drink at them. I could never deal with that. Or no, I would throw a drink at Shep first. And then I would turn to them and be like, you have some fucking nerve. Something like that. Or I would turn to Austin and go, handle it. And then I would walk away. Who's to say? Anyways, I would act psycho. Madison was lovely. And I want to say, when I recapped the trailer, I called Madison a fembot and I said I was not a fan of hers. At the end of this season, I thought she was terrific. I thought she made great television. I think she put up with a lot to be with Austin. And, you know, as Selena Gomez once said, the heart wants what it wants. I believe in them. I think they're a cute couple. I hope they last. Honestly, I really, really do. I think Shep can go fuck himself. I thought he was a nightmare person. I believe in them. I think they're cute. And I also think it's hilarious that one of those, like, girls from the video looked like, you know how there's, like, a Barbie doll and then there's, like, a melty, like, Walgreens version of a Barbie doll? Madison is like the brand name Barbie doll. And then that girl, that blonde from the video, was like the melty Walgreens doll that, like, you walk by in the store as a kid and you're like, what the fuck? Thank God I have, like, real Barbies, because that one's not cute. It was a lot going on. Also, I just want to say shout out to Mr. Kale, the weirdly sexy security guard that took care of business at that party. Patricia was great. She kicked everybody out. It was awesome. And I thought it was an overall solid season of Southern Charm. I'm really looking forward to the reunion. I think Shep deserves to get his ass handed to him, and I cannot wait to watch that happen. Also, we saw Cam's husband, Jason, which was sweet. Hi, Jason. Hi. They're a cute couple. If I were Jason, I don't know that I would be, like, super down for the constant, like, ogling, or is it ogling, of Matul. But, you know, I'm not in their marriage. He's probably just a much more confident human than I. Next, the 13 Reasons Why trailer dropped. And I said this last week, that Euphoria is what 13 Reasons Why wishes it could be. The whole trailer is just, like, cheesy, like, shots of, like, the cast, like, looking brooding and, like, doing fucked up things. And then it's like, who killed Bryce? So, like, Bryce died now. And I will be watching. Don't get me wrong. And I just want to know, like, why did they kill off Bryce? And here's my theory, that his reps were like, hey, this character is a horrible person. If you ever want to play anyone who's not a horrible person, you got to get off this fucking show. So he probably just got killed off. I don't know. Look up that trailer. It was weird. If any of you are going to watch 13 Reasons Why, message me. But, like, it can't hold a candle to Euphoria. Also, these are just two random thoughts that struck me when it was slow at my serving job. First of all, what the fuck happened to Macy Gray?
Macy Gray!
I really miss her. And I just want to say that she sung the theme song to one of my favorite cartoons of all time, as told by Ginger. And it went like this.
Someone once told me the grass was much greener on the other side.
So first of all, where is Macy Gray? I miss her. Second of all, as told by Ginger is so fucking good. Who's the girl in the pink capris? It's Courtney. You guys, I think As Told by Ginger is on YouTube, and I've just wanted to, like, curl up in a blanket, shut all the blinds, a la Carrie Bradshaw in her Mexicoma. Just shut all the blinds, eat some pudding, and watch As Told by Ginger. I think I might actually do that, maybe after my massage. If we have any As Told by Ginger fans, hit me up in those DMs, because I miss the shit out of that show. It's so good. And then the last thing I thought about was Clay Aiken. Where the fuck is Clay Aiken? And I actually, so I posted a Ruben Studdard song, Sorry, I'm sorry. I posted that to my Instagram story, like, yesterday. And my friend Mirai, shout out to Mirai, love you girl, DM'd me and was like, hey, I saw him and Clay tour during the holidays last year, and their voices are still fire, but their acting skills are meh. I'm happy to see they're both still working, but I just want to say that Clay Aiken had a song called Invisible, and the lyrics were, if I was invisible and I could just watch you in your room, I would be, I don't know, I would be the smartest man or something like that. If I was invisible, wait, I already am. I need to look up these lyrics really quick. Hold, please. All right, so the first line is, what you doing tonight? I wish I could be a fly on your wall. Are you really alone? Who's stealing your dreams? Why can't I bring you into my life? What would it take to make you see that I'm alive? This is a song about a stalker. And the chorus is, if I was invisible, then I could just watch you in your room. If I was invincible, I'd make you mine tonight. If hearts were unbreakable, then I could just tell you where I stand. I would be the smartest man. If I was invisible, wait, I already am. He talks about tracing his steps. He talks about following this person around. It's like the creepiest song ever, and it's about a stalker, and I don't know why it was touted as some love song when it is deeply, deeply disturbing. That being said, Clay Aiken is an extremely talented man, and I hope his singing and holiday tours with Ruben Studdard continue to thrive. I just had that thought, but like, what a fucked up song, right? Anything else to discuss? Nope. I think we're good there. Oh, the last thing. I saw the movie Britney Runs a Marathon, and it was amazing. It's going to be on Amazon on August 23rd, and it was a super inspiring story about a girl named Britney who, like, had to lose weight for health reasons and then decides to run a marathon, and she sort of, like, finds herself again, and it was a really beautiful movie. I cried. My boyfriend cried. Everyone cried. It was fantastic and so inspiring. So keep an eye out for that. It stars Jillian Bell. She's great. She's great. Okay, let's get into this recap. I weirdly have a fuck ton of notes. I have like 3 pages of notes. All right, let's get into it. Okay, my first note is how many more fucking episodes are there? And then we get to Adrian's voiceover. She says, young love was in the air. And we see Atreyu from The Neverending Story and Brandon, like, kissing. And then she goes, but some relationships reach the end of the road. And it's Adrian and Justin Bobby. And then she's like, while others tried to heal. And Brandon is at Linda's talking about Tommy Lee. And then she's like, even if it meant facing past demons. And Jason talked about his relapse. And she goes, and dark revelation sent some spinning. And then Steph does her very poor Brody impression, being like, you bitch. And then she goes, and a surprise dinner date ripped open old wounds. And then you see Steph and Adrian arguing at Thanksgiving. Adrian being like, we're not friends. It's over. Then we get the credits. And then we meet Adrian and Ashley while we're at the rooftop, a beachside restaurant. And they order the bacon wrap dates to start. And Ashley's like, I already looked at the menu. And I was like, I love that because I'm the same person. Do your fucking research before you go to a restaurant. I have to say, as a server, when someone sits down and they're like, I'm in the mood for brunch. Do you have brunch? And I'm like, no, it's like dinner time. They're like, oh, you really don't have breakfast right now? Seriously? I had these other girls come in like last week. These girls. Guys, I'm like fried. I had these girls come in last week. And it was like at the very end of our brunch shift. And where I work, it's like from 3 to 4. They're switching over the kitchen. So it's just like small bites and like drinks. And they sit down and I greet them and they're like, hey, where's the brunch menu? I was like, I'm sorry, did like whoever sat you not tell you that brunch ends at 3? And they're like, no, they didn't. And they were so pissed. And I was like, all right, well, happy hour starts shortly. Here's a menu. Feel free to look that over. And they were so rude to me about it. And I wanted to be like, hey, guess what? There's a little girl who came home from her first day of school to find her parents fucking gone. And now she's in like first grade by herself and doesn't know what to do and doesn't know how she's going to eat. So fuck you both for freaking out about whether you can get brunch or not. And if you want brunch that badly, maybe call the fucking restaurant and get your shit together. So yeah, I love Ashley Waller for like doing her research and knowing she wanted those bacon wrap dates in advance. The gals are excited to go to Caitlin's gala and they're proud of how business savvy and on top of things she is. And I was like, well, yeah, because her husband leaves her alone all the time. So she needs to occupy her time somehow, ideally by building her own personal brand, which is what she seems to be doing. And then Adrian explains how she met Ryan Cabrera in 2002 and she is 17 and reveals that he's more than an ex and she may be bringing him to the gala. Also, Ryan Cabrera was in Pretty Wild, which I'm currently recapping on my Patreon, patreon.com/browneyedunicorn. And yeah, I'm like, Ryan Cabrera, like, will never like not be on a reality show. And I love that about him. I was like really excited to see like how he aged and we see him later. And then Ashley's like, bye bye, Justin. He is so loser. And I'm like, that's not proper English, but I totally agree with the sentiment. And then Ashley reveals that Saturday before Friendsgiving, Jason had a slip and bought alcohol. And she cries about his recovery and how she left sometimes afraid that it would be the last time she'd ever see him and how he drinks because he hates being in his own skin. And it was all just like very, very, very heartbreaking, and they agree that being through so much, it's hard to be vulnerable sometimes. And I'm like, girls, I am with you, and I celebrate Jason and Ashley and how they love and support each other and encourage Jason's sobriety journey, and I think they have a beautiful relationship. So we cut to Brandon and Ashley, a.k.a. Atreyu, waking up together with his puppy. And he's, like, very disheveled and adorable in his bathrobe. And she looks fresh-faced, like the Atreyu in The Neverending Story at the beginning of his quest. I would say Atreyu looks like pretty good at the beginning of the quest. And then when he gets like fucked up in the mud, when Artax like sinks to his death, I would say from there on, he looks a little TBD. So it should look like Atreyu at the beginning of the Neverending Story. And then he's like, this relationship is moving fast, but I'm like, I think you're pretty fucking cool. And then we see them, like a clip of them out to dinner with Justin, Bobby, and Lindsay. So you could say things are getting serious. And the avocado toast in the kitchen, and she's like, it's made with love. And he's like, tastes funny. And then she goes, so? And he's like, what? She's like, you already know me so well. And he's like, well, we spent a lot of hours together this week. He's so like pouty. Like even when I do an impression of him, I like pout my lips. And she's like, do you want to slow down? And he's like, do you want to slow down? And she's like, well, I just want to know if you're only hanging out with me. And he's like, do you want to know if we're exclusive or not? And she's like, I guess, yeah. And he's like, I mean, I'm not seeing anybody. You're not seeing anybody. And she's like, so should we keep it that way? And he's like, I think we should. It's a cute little rom-com moment. And then he goes over his checklist and his confessional for what he looks for in a girlfriend. And he's like, well, she's definitely hot as fuck. She's got a good laugh. She smiles a lot. I have a hard time saying no to that. And I'm like, those are definitely my number one qualities as well. I would look for nothing else in a human being. Then we go to Q's Billiard Club, and Steph and Justin Bobby are playing pool. And I don't know why, but I feel like in London, she was like, I'm going to get into pool while I'm in a like a pub in London. And she's like, what's the status of you and Lindsay? I mean, she's hot. And then Justin Bobby's like, I don't do good with new. I do cautious with new. And he says that he and Lindsay haven't even been to each other's houses yet. And Steph's like, Justin would be the best criminal. He's so good at dodging questions. And I'm like, wow, what a fun person to build a friendship or relationship with. A person who doesn't give a straight answer to anything and just dodges questions. That's a way to build trust and love and understanding. So Steph tells Justin Bobby the tale of her and Adrian's confrontation in the kitchen at Friendsgiving. And he's like, well, that's on you, because ever since I stepped away from it, I don't feel nothing of it. And she's like, I'm feeling it. And then she's like, so you're going to go to that gala. And she does this like over the top acting moment. And I love to see Steph like trying to like Valerie cherish it and like mug for the camera, because I'm like, you're not like charismatic and you're not good at acting. And like, I just don't. I only like to watch you so I can make fun of you. Does that make sense? Anyway, Justin Bobby's like, yeah, I think I will. And she's like, I wasn't invited. And he's like, well, you should crash it. And she talks about how Brody still hasn't apologized. And Justin tells Steph that Adrian is the reason that Brody got going about this whole hating Steph thing, because she relayed all the shit that Steph talked in Vegas, being like, fuck the fires, I just want to party. And I'm like, I don't know why, Steph, you would think that at this point in the game, Adrian would like protect you by like keeping it a secret from Brody the shitty things you said. Definitely stirring the pot on Adrian's end, but like, bless her soul, because it's reality television. Hold on, I'm taking a sip of my coffee. All right, cool. Cut to Spencer doing some sort of karate or taekwondo, later to find out it was jujitsu, while Heidi pays bills with a super subtle Sonic cup right in the frame. Gotta love that product placement. And Spencer's like, going from like being a multimillionaire to like no money, I gained like 100 pounds. All I did was eat pie. I'd eat like 2 pies. When people say eating your feelings, that's like a real thing. And I'm like, I'm not famous, I'm not rich. Ah! And Heidi's like, we need to focus on these bills. And Spencer's like, you're seriously gonna do this to me after I train? And she's like, you spent $30,000 this month on clothes, $3,000 on wine, and $10,000 on jewelry. And Spencer defends it by saying he spends his money and he manifests more money. Spencer, can you teach me how? Because I just spend money and then I don't manifest more money. But $3,000 a month on wine, I knew I liked Spencer, but that like really cemented it. Also, happy belated birthday to Spencer Pratt. It was his birthday a few days ago. The king of crystals and the star of the hills, Spencer Pratt. We love him. And then he's like, the bank is imaginary, which it like reminds me of like when Will Smith's son, Jaden, said that like time doesn't exist to him. I was like, I love the idea of the bank being imaginary. I'm like, cool. I wish bills were also imaginary and tax collectors were also imaginary. So Spencer's like, we're going to do something special for our anniversary. And after that, I'll stop. And Heidi's like, well, surprises stress me out now because of Gunner. And like, I want to be home at like a sensible time. And Spencer's like, we're not going to the gala, so I don't think I have a. He's like, we're going to the gala, so don't think I don't have a. I'm so sorry, guys. I typed this like I was a drunk person. He said, we're not going to the gala, so don't think I don't have a surprise at my kimono. Because he's still in his jujitsu outfit. And that makes Heidi giggle. I thought that was cute. And he wants to make a big deal out of their 10-year milestone and give Heidi a chance to just be Heidi and not stress about being a mom. You know, he says this a lot this episode. This is my one thing I'll critique Spencer a little bit on. This whole episode, he's like, I just want Heidi to have space to be Heidi, like to do her music and to just be Heidi. And I'm like, but Heidi is a mom now and it makes her happy. So like that is Heidi being Heidi at this point in your life. So it's like I get wanting to like treat her to a nice night out where she doesn't have to like worry about anything. But also like if she wants to go home early to be with y'all's kid, I mean, great. She's a great mom. I don't think that should be stifled. So we cut to Viceroy where Brandon meets with Mama Pamela Anderson. I love her. She's, I love how like kind of old school she is. She's like deeply disturbed by his lack of shaving. And he tells a story of her telling him that he looked like a sock because he wasn't tan. I look like a sock right now. I haven't applied myself tanner in days and days. So Pamela would hate me as well. It's so fucked up to be like, you're my child and you will be tan, but I also think it's hilarious. And then he tells Mama Pammy about Ashley, aka Treyu, and she says he's 22 and he should be thinking about marriage. And he's like, you're fucking insane. And I'm like, I agree. That's insane. And she says she knew Tommy Lee 4 days before they got married. And he proposed on the first date. Romance AF. And then he tells Mama Pammy that he texted his dad on Thanksgiving to apologize and try and reconcile and that he wants to meet up. And I thought that was really sweet. I hope that their relationship gets back on track because I think it's really sad. And then, like last week when he was like, I just miss my dad, that made me really sad. And then he talks about how he wants to write a movie. And Pamela's like, you're going to be one of the best actors the world has ever seen. And I just love, like, the unwavering support and believing in him as a talent and as an actor. I think that's really sweet. And I really want to see him act. I want to see his movie. I'm going to look up his IMDb page after this, actually. Maybe I can find his reel. So then we cut to Jason and Spencer and they meet up for dinner and Spencer's like, I love Jason. He's like a motivational guy. He's like Tony Robbins. I love watching his videos. He's like, I'm checking in. And Jason opens up to Spencer about his slip and says he drank a fifth and he was super insecure about his body after taking photos at an event. And that was the trigger. First of all, Jason Waller looks terrific. I think he's never looked better. And Ashley's super hot. And I think he has every reason to just feel like super confident and secure. And I'm not trying to minimize like his addiction or his insecurities at all. I'm just saying like I can only imagine being in the limelight that much. It must fuck with your head. So that was kind of upsetting. And I hope he finds his confidence because he deserves it and he should. But he says he's gained about 30 pounds and he thought about Ashley and Delilah, their daughter, and he drank anyway. And he thought it would be a solution and it wasn't. It never is, honey. It never fucking is. If I had a dime for every time I was like, oh, I had a day, I'm going to get wasted and then it fucking backfired, I would have at least $10 at this point. But Spencer understands about the emotional eating and he talks about, again, about how he ate multiple pies every day. I wonder what kind of pies. I could eat multiple pumpkin pies in a day for sure. That's my favorite pie. He's like, man, I know. I get it. Like I used to eat multiple pies, like 2 pies in a day. And I just love men having a conversation about finding body peace because I don't think we see that in the media enough. And I think there are so many unfair expectations about women's bodies that like I forget that men can be just as insecure about those things. So I thought it was a cool little conversation they had. And Jason feels guilty about sabotaging his super blessed life and he recognizes how much he and Ashley have been through and said he wouldn't be alive without her, which is very sweet. And Spencer's like, I'm sad for Jason and his struggle, but I'm proud that he snapped back after his relapse, used his program. So Jason, you're in my thoughts, man. I believe in you. I'm glad you have good friends like Spencer, too. Whether he's a TV friend or a real friend, I'm going to choose to believe that they're real life friends. And I just hope he taps into his support system and continues to thrive. So then Adrian meets up with Misha and they're going boating with Ashley and Ryan Cabrera. And Ryan Cabrera shows up and his hair is vertical as ever. He's in a sensible striped pant and a sparkly jacket. I mean, literally has not changed at all, which I love. And they're all on the boat. It actually looks really picturesque and fun. And Adrian wears a captain hat, which is very like Sheena Shea to be like, look how cute I am in this captain hat. And she plays the harmonica while Ryan plays the guitar. And I will say, you know, I know that this is very, very produced. However, I believe that Adrian in this scene was so much more relaxed and so much more herself than in any of the scenes with Justin Bobby. So I approve of Ryan, and guess what? Misha does too. She's like, yeah, Audrina seems really happy. Then there was, I don't know if you guys saw this, there was a really cringy commercial that Misha did for Degree while I was on my phone. And I was like, whoa, that was weird. And I couldn't rewind it, but look it up. It was weird. And then the show comes back and we go to Spencer's house. And Spencer is, oh my God, this was amazing. This was potentially the highlight of the episode. So Heidi and Spencer were getting ready for their anniversary outing, the big surprise that Spencer had planned. And he's layering crystals and putting on alligator cufflinks with a Pratt Daddy pour of wine in the closet. And he, like, takes out these, like, loafers, those, like, furry loafers that are, like, mules. And he's like, I need a brush for my shoes. And Heidi's like, you're not using my brush for your shoes. And meanwhile, Heidi is singing her own song to herself for the gram with an aggressive high pony, a full beat, a Versace robe. She's like whipping. And honestly, I love the song. I thought it was a banger. And she's like, okay, should I be a little more glam or a little less? And this was like so scripted. And Spencer's like, 5-star leak glam, please. And Heidi doesn't know where they're going for the anniversary. And she's like, is it going to be warm? Is it going to be hot? Is it going to be outside? Is it going to be inside? And Spencer's like, I'm going with these smoky celestial amethyst from Africa, when he's accessorizing. And they get ready to go. And he just says he's proud of Heidi working hard on the company and that she deserves a nice night out. So let me get to Jason and Ashley, and they're getting ready for the gala. And Ashley comes out in her senior year prom dress. And I had multiple thoughts. I was like, wow, girl, you still fit in your senior year prom dress. That is like literally insane. Kudos to you. My second thought was, the dress isn't great. The vintage didn't age well. She looked beautiful in it, but I didn't love the dress. But I'm all for being thrifty and reusing a dress. Don't get me wrong. And Jason says he feels like he's in a good place to go to this event, and he hopes to be able to handle everything and not talk about what happened. He just wants to focus on, you know, Caitlin's business and, you know, being supportive and all that jazz. Skidoo and all that jazz. So then Spencer reveals his anniversary surprise. He brings Heidi to a yacht called the Duchess. And Heidi's look here is incredible. She looked just like Goldie Hawn in Overboard. It was like a gold lamé situation, a high ponytail, like a headpiece. Like, she literally, it was Goldie Hawn Overboard vibes. I was obsessed. And they're just like chilling with champagne on the boat. And honestly, it was my idea of a good time. It looked super relaxing, but glam at the same time. And he made them a photo album of all their years together. And they talk about how they met at Les Deux. And Heidi knew immediately that he was her soulmate. And she's like, we have such a sacred bond. And no one will ever understand or know. And no one ever believed in their relationship. But they lasted. And I love them. And then Heidi makes a sweet speech about how happy she is with their life together. And then Spencer's like, Hannah, more champagne. And I was like, I wish I were in that yacht and I could be their like champagne bitch. I swear to God, I said, Hannah, more champagne. And I was like, he's talking to me through the TV. So then he's like, Heidi's love for me doesn't change with the wind. She was okay when we ate tacos every day for 7 years and pie. I love how this pie addiction came up 3 times in this episode. Spencer is a brilliant comedian. He knows the rule of threes. And then Heidi calls bullshit on Caitlin and Brody's marriage. And she's like, Caitlin is guilty of what Matthew Hussey calls the one-day wager. Matthew Hussey talks about this idea called the one-day wager, which is basically when you're in a relationship and you go like, one day he'll want kids, one day he'll do this, one day, and then you waste all these years with someone praying for a day that's probably never going to happen because people don't change unless they really want to. And I guess that's why their marriage ended, because Caitlin was like, wait a minute, I'm tired of waiting for one day. I'm going to go to Italy with Miley and then reevaluate my life, which, good for her. So then we're at the gala, and it's a very, like, Great Gatsby adjacent gala. And Caitlin and her business partner are arguing about how there's no music outside. And then Misha lurks in the background with a really great smoky eye, like a blue smoky eye. And then Justin Bobby and Big Boobs McGee show up. And I know last week I said that Jason Waller was being immature about being like, whoa, she has big boobs. But, like, they are giant. And, like, look, I'm not body shaming anyone, okay? And I love that she owns them. But I didn't realize last week, like, how big they are. Like, damn, girl. And then Jason talks about how he had a hard time feeling uncomfortable at the gala, which was upsetting but totally understandable. And then Adrian comes in a cheetah jacket. And then we have the return of Whitney Port. And Whitney's like, I'm so impressed by this gala. It's so great. I remember when she was on The Hills originally, she used the word amazing a lot. And the way she pronounced any word that ended with an ing was to make it into a K. So she'd be like, Paris was amazing. Or like, so where are you and Jason going? keep an ear out for it. Whitney has such a specific cadence and I love it. Then Brandon and Atreyu are at the gala, but they don't want to mingle with anyone. They just want to hang out and like have fun together. And honestly, same. Like me and my boyfriend, I would rather just like hang out with him than mingle with and like make small talk with strangers. So I get them. And then Justin Bobby doesn't care that he was snubbed by Adrian because he's like, I have a beautiful blonde on my arm. And I thought, guys, I really don't want you to think I'm being body shaming right now. I'm not trying to be. I'm just trying to make some comedy here. I did think her tits kind of looked like an ass on her chest, like at a glance, like a full size butt on her chest. And then I had this disgusting thought, like, can you imagine shitting from your chest? Like, that would suck. I should probably cut this out. I don't know if I'm going to yet, but I was like, whoa, that would be wild. And I like visualized it and I was like, thank God that it's just giant boobs and not really a butt on her chest. So then, God, how do I even like segue after such a statement? So then Caitlin talks about having her own career that makes her feel fulfilled. And she's like, I would never want to be known as somebody's wife. And I'm like, that's ironic to say, given that you married Brody fucking Jenner. Again, happy she's out of it. Then Brandon asks Jason and Lindsay, or I'm sorry, Justin, Bobby and Lindsay, if they're seriously not fucking yet. And they're like, nope, we're not fucking yet. We're taking our time. And then Ryan Cabrera shows up at the event like a cutie and his arm is adorned with sparkly bracelets. Literally nothing has changed since 2001. And he steals Adrian's cheetah jacket and he's just a goofy little jokester. She's like, oh my God, you're wearing my jacket. I want to say stealing a hat, stealing a jacket and putting it on is the best seventh grade flirting tactic of all time. And I know grown women that will still be like, let me see your hat. And I just am like, I love an adult that leans into that seventh grade flirtation tactic because it's just such an easy go-to, you know. I just randomly had a visual of when that episode of Vanderpump Rules, when they were at the opening of Tom Tom and Sheena like put on that hard hat and kept going up to Rob Valletta being like, I'm just going to wear this liner. Did you hear me? Literally not even hearing me. I'm just going to wear this later in the bedroom. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it was like that was sort of in a similar vein. I was like, I don't know why I brought that up. So then Justin Bobby throws thick shade about Ryan Cabrera being at the event because Adrian goes back to what's comfortable. And she does. But, you know, we've all been there. No judgment. And then poor Jason has to leave the event early because he's uncomfortable. But good for him for like knowing his limits and being like, yeah, we're going to go. And then Brody lays it on thick by saying, I absolutely scored the jackpot with Caitlin. She's gorgeous. She's smart. Very smart. I feel like the luckiest husband. She probably like wrote that out for him and was like, hey, so clearly you hate me. I'm going to need you to say this so that I feel a little better. Some words of affirmation, if you will. It just seems so disingenuous because I'm like, literally we watch you treat her like shit all the time. And then you're like, I hit the jackpot. I'm so proud of her. Like get it. I just can't. Then we cut to Spencer and Heidi, and they're probably about to fuck on that boat. And Heidi's like, I want a vow renewal. And she also wants another baby. And Spencer's like, oh, my God. And he's like super excited to have more miracle angel children. But Heidi is pursuing her passions as a musical artist, and he wants her to take time to enjoy herself. And he's like, wait. Oh, she says the goal is to balance being Heidi and a mom. And Heidi's like, or he said that. And then Heidi's like, that might not happen, though, which is kind of like what I was saying earlier. Effectively, like being Heidi and being a mom is like one and the same at this point. And so basically they were kind of arguing about whether or not they want to have another kid. And she was basically like, you know, I don't really want to wait another year, but also I want to prioritize my marriage and wait for when the time is right and we can really enjoy it. And that was the episode, you guys. That was the episode. I'm interested to see how many more episodes there are going to be and like where this all goes. I don't really know. But I will say the highlight of this episode was, again, Spencer and Heidi. They are the MVPs of this season. I will definitely be doing a Goldie Hawn and Heidi overboard look side by side. So that's the episode, you guys. I hope you enjoyed my little quick pop culture roundup and my recap. Thank you all so much for listening. And those of you who reached out and started following me or listening after I was on Danny Pellegrino's podcast, Everything Iconic, which go listen to that if you haven't. Thank you so much for reaching out And if you don't follow me already, follow me at Hannah A. Brown on Instagram and Twitter. Again, I also have a Patreon page. So that's patreon.com/brown-eyed-unicorn. For just $5 a month, you get one bonus episode. I'm going for two. Right now, I'm recapping Pretty Wild. So that's super fun. And thank you all so, so much for the support. I really, really appreciate it. Again, keep the reviews coming or any feedback you want to give me, feel free to DM me or email me at brown-eyed-unicorn@gmail.com. I love your feedback and I really do take it seriously. So thank you so much for listening and we'll see you next week. Bye.